Welcome back for another deep dive. And today we're tackling tinnitus, exploring some really cutting-edge research on a treatment called bimodal neuromodulation.
Wow.
Now, you probably know tinnitus is like ringing in the ears, right? But it can be so much more than that.
Yeah.
Buzzing, whooshing, hissing, all sorts of phantom noises that can be incredibly disruptive to people's lives. And it affects a surprisingly large number of people, about 10 to 15%.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah. And for some, it's not just an annoyance. It can severely impact sleep, concentration, even mental health.
Yeah.
And the thing is, current treatments mainly focus on just making it less bothersome, not actually reducing how loud it is.
Exactly, yeah. And that's what makes this research so compelling. It's not about masking the sound. It's about potentially retraining the brain.
Okay, so let's break down this bimodal neuromodulation thing.
Yeah.
We're basing this deep dive on a presentation by Dr. Ali Dinesh, a real expert in the field. And from what I understand, it involves combining sound therapy with electrical stimulation. Electricity to treat tinnitus.
It does sound a bit like science fiction, doesn't it?
It does sound a bit like science fiction.
But it is grounded in a solid neuroscience.
Okay.
Yeah. The basic idea is to use sound and electrical impulses together to try and like rewire how the brain responds to these phantom noises.
So how does that actually work? Are we talking about electrodes attached to your head?
Not necessarily. There are a variety of approaches. But to understand the principle, think of the saying, neurons that fire together wire together.
Right.
Essentially, by pairing specific sounds with like precisely timed electrical stimulation, researchers believe they can strengthen the connections between neurons involved in processing sound. This strengthening process is called long-term potentiation, or LTP.
LTP. I'm not sure I'm following. Can you give me an analogy?
Sure. Imagine you're trying to build muscle.
Okay.
The more you exercise that muscle, the stronger it gets.
Right.
LTT is similar. The more neurons fire together, the stronger their connection becomes. So with bimodal stimulation, the idea is to strengthen those connections in a way that changes how the brain perceives tinnitus.
Ah, so it's like a targeted workout for your brain.
Exactly.
Specifically, those neurons involved in processing those pesky phantom noises.
Mm-mm.
Now, Dr. Dinesh mentioned something interesting about the history of using electricity in hearing. Apparently, Alessandro Volta, the guy who invented the battery, even experimented with it as a cure for deafness.
It's fascinating, isn't it? Shows how scientific exploration often comes full circle. What was once considered a radical idea can, with time and research, lay the groundwork for incredible breakthroughs.
Volta's methods were probably a tad less refined than what's being done today, though, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. But it's that historical context that makes this research so intriguing.
Oh, yeah.
It speaks to how long we've been exploring the potential of electricity to influence our senses. So let's talk about how this electrical stimulation is actually applied. Is it always focused on the ears?
That's where things get really interesting. The research has explored a surprising variety of stimulation sites.
Okay, you got to tell me more.
Well, we've got the skin, the ear canal, even the tympanic membrane, which is that thin membrane in your eardrum.
Stimulating the eardrum directly, that seems pretty intense.
It might sound surprising, but think about it. The tympanic membrane is the most direct, non-invasive route to the inner ear.
Right.
Research suggests that stimulating it directly can be far more efficient than placing electrodes on the scalp, for example.
So you've got the eardrum. What else is on the list?
They've also been exploring stimulation of the vagus nerve.
Oh, wow.
It's this long, winding nerve that runs from the brain all the way down to the abdomen. And it plays a role in modulating all sorts of things, including how the brain processes sound.
Hold on, the vagus nerve. That seems like a pretty roundabout way to target tinnitus.
It might seem counterintuitive, but there is evidence that stimulating the vagus nerve can indirectly influence those tinnitus-related networks in the brain.
Wow, that's pretty mind-blowing. And what of the tongue? I heard that was being explored as well.
You heard right. It sounds strange, but the tongue has a dense network of nerve endings, and some studies have shown promising results when tongue stimulation is paired with sound therapy.
Okay, that's officially blown my mind. So with all these different approaches, are we seeing actual results? Is this really working?
That's the exciting part. Yes, there are positive results emerging. One study by Marks et al., published back in 2018, really caught Dr. Dinesh's attention. They called their approach auditory somatosensory bimodal stimulation.
That's a mouthful. Can you break it down for me?
Essentially, they combined sound therapy with electrical stimulation of the skin, They started with guinea pigs and then moved on to human subjects.
Guinea pigs. That's an interesting choice.
It's actually quite common in auditory research. Their auditory systems are similar enough to ours to provide valuable insights.
So what did they find in this study? Did the guinea pigs and the humans get any relief from their tinnitus?
The results were quite impressive, actually. In both the guinea pig and human groups, they saw a significant reduction in tinnitus loudness after several weeks of treatment. And what's really interesting is that the bimodal stimulation, combining sound and electrical stimulation, seems to work better than using either one alone.
So it's the synergy between the two that seems to make a difference, like 1 + 1 = 3.
Exactly. And that's what's so exciting about this research. It's suggesting that this combined approach might be the key to creating lasting changes in the brain.
That's incredible. It seems like bimodal neuromodulation is really gaining traction as a potential tinnitus treatment. But is it a one-size-fits-all solution, or is there more to it than just zapping people with electricity?
That's a great question, and it leads us to another key takeaway from Dr. Dinesh's presentation. He advocates for a holistic approach to tinnitus management. He calls it his SEC model.
SEC. Sounds a bit like a government agency. What does that stand for?
It stands for sensation, emotion, and cognition.
Okay.
Each element addresses tinnitus from a different angle.
Intriguing. Tell me more. How do these three elements work together to manage tinnitus?
Well, the sensation aspect is what we've been discussing so far. Addressing the actual perception of tinnitus through sound and electrical stimulation. But Dr. Dinesh argues that we can't stop there. We also need to acknowledge the emotional impact of tinnitus.
That makes sense. Tinnitus can be incredibly frustrating, and it's easy to see how it could take an emotional toll.
Exactly. So the emotional component of his model focuses on helping people manage the negative emotions associated with tinnitus through techniques like counseling, relaxation exercises, and mindfulness practices.
Okay, so we've got the sensation and the emotions covered. What about the C, the cognitive part?
The cognitive aspect is about addressing the negative thoughts and beliefs that often come with tinnitus. This can involve something like cognitive behavioral therapy, either in person or online. It's about reframing those negative thoughts and giving people a sense of control over their experience.
So it's not just about silencing the sound. It's about empowering people to live better lives with tinnitus.
Precisely. It's about recognizing that tinnitus is a complex experience that requires a multifaceted approach.
Right.
It's about treating the whole person, not just the symptom.
This is all incredibly fascinating. It seems like we're just scratching the surface of what's possible with tinnitus treatment.
We are, and there's so much more to explore. What's particularly exciting is that this field is still evolving rapidly. There's ongoing research into new stimulation targets and protocols, and I think we're only just beginning to understand the full potential of bimodal neuromodulation.
This is definitely a deep dive I'm glad we took. But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's go back to the research and look at some of the specific findings that Dr. Dinesh highlighted in his presentation. Can you walk us through those?
Absolutely. Let's delve into the details of that groundbreaking study by Marx et al. That we touched on earlier.
Great. That's what I love about these deep dives, getting to the nitty-gritty of the research and seeing how all these pieces fit together.
So this Marx et al. Study, it really pushed the field forward. They were looking at how combining sound therapy with electrical stimulation of the skin, what they called auditory somatosensory bimodal stimulation, affected tinnitus.
Right. We touched on that earlier. And they had some pretty impressive results, right?
They did. But to really appreciate the impact, it helps to understand how rigorous their study design was. They did a double-blinded, sham-controlled crossover study with both guinea pigs and humans.
Okay, you're going to have to break that down for me. What does all that even mean?
Sure. So double-blinded means that neither the researchers nor the participants knew who was getting the real treatment and who was getting a placebo or a sham treatment in this case. This eliminates bias.
That makes sense. So what was the sham treatment in this case?
The participants in the sham group received the electrical stimulation, but at a very low intensity, so it wouldn't actually have any therapeutic effect.
Got it. And what about the crossover part?
That means everyone in the study received both the real treatment and the sham treatment at different points, but the order was randomized. This helps to control for individual differences and makes results much more reliable.
Wow, that's a really clever way to design a study. It ensures that any changes they observe are really due to the treatment and not just random chance or individual variations.
Exactly. So with all these careful controls in place, they found something remarkable. both the guinea pigs and the humans who received the real bimodal stimulation showed significant reductions in their tinnitus loudness compared to those who received the sham treatment. And these improvements lasted for weeks, even after the treatment stopped.
That's incredible. It really seems to support the idea that bimodal stimulation could be a game changer for tinnitus treatment. But I'm curious, with all this talk about stimulating the ears and the skin, what about the vagus nerve? We briefly touched on that earlier. What's the latest on that research?
That's a hot area of research right now. Remember, the vagus nerve acts as a kind of information superhighway between the brain and many internal organs.
Right, and you said it might play a role in how the brain processes sound, even though it's not directly connected to the ears.
Precisely. It seems to have connections to those areas of the brain involved in auditory processing, attention, and even emotional regulation.
So researchers are thinking they can indirectly target tinnitus by stimulating this nerve.
Exactly. And there's already some encouraging evidence. A study published in 2020 found that combining sound therapy with a non-invasive form of vagus nerve stimulation led to significant improvements in both the severity and distress associated with tinnitus.
That's really promising. So is this vagus nerve stimulation becoming a standard treatment for tinnitus?
Not quite yet. While these early results are exciting, it's important to remember that research on vagus nerve stimulation for tinnitus is still relatively new. We need more, larger studies to confirm these findings and figure out the optimal stimulation parameters and, of course, assess the long-term effects.
Right. Science takes time. We need to be patient and let the research unfold. But it definitely sounds like an area to keep an eye on. It makes you wonder, with all these different approaches being explored, sound, electricity, different target areas, how do you know which one is right for a specific person?
That's a crucial question, and it highlights the need for personalized treatment plans. There's no one-size-fits-all approach when it comes to tinnitus. What works for one person might not work for another, and the response to various types of stimulation can vary quite a bit from person to person.
So it's not just a matter of finding the right combination of sound and electricity, but tailoring the treatment to the individual.
Exactly. That's where the skill and expertise of audiologists and other healthcare professionals are so important. They need to carefully assess each person's tinnitus, taking into account the specific sounds they hear, the severity of their tinnitus, and any other medical conditions to create a treatment plan that's specifically tailored to their needs.
It seems like we're at an exciting crossroads in tinnitus research with all this exploration and development of new techniques. But I imagine there are also some challenges, right? What are some of the hurdles researchers are facing in this field?
You're absolutely right. There are always challenges when pushing the boundaries of scientific knowledge. One of the biggest hurdles is simply the need for more research. As promising as the initial studies are, we need larger scale, long-term studies to confirm the effectiveness of these treatments and to get a better handle on any potential long-term effects.
Right. It always comes back to the need for more data. What else?
Another challenge is the lack of standardized protocols for bimodal stimulation. There's a lot of variability in how researchers and clinicians are delivering these treatments, which can make it difficult to compare results across different studies and figure out what the best practices really are. We need clearer guidelines for things like stimulation parameters, treatment duration, and follow-up procedures.
So it's a bit like the Wild West out there right now, with everyone trying different things and seeing what sticks.
In a way, yes, but that's often how new fields evolve. There's a period of exploration and experimentation before things start to become more standardized. And it's important to remember that this type of research is pushing the boundaries of what we know about the brain and how to influence its activity. It's inherently complex.
That makes sense. It's about laying the foundation for a whole new way of treating tinnitus.
Exactly. And beyond the need for more research and standardized protocols, there's also the challenge of personalization. We touched on this earlier, but to really move the field forward, we need to get better at predicting which treatment approaches will work best for which individuals. This will require more sophisticated assessment tools and a deeper understanding of the individual factors that influence treatment response.
So it's not just about throwing treatments at the wall and seeing what sticks. It's about developing a more precise and targeted approach.
Precisely. And that leads us to another important challenge: access and affordability. Right now, bimodal neuromodulation therapies are not widely available, and they can be quite expensive. This raises concerns about equity and accessibility. Will these treatments only be available to those who can afford them?
That's a really important point. We need to make sure that these potentially life-changing treatments are accessible to everyone who needs them,